You won't have to worry about unwrapping a package that's harder to open than one of those Japanese box puzzles when you check out the frustration-free packaging that they've got for many items on Amazon.com. Plus, get the best deals on everything you need and help support Rob as a Podcast whenever you start your Amazon shopping with our link, robisawebsite.com/Amazon. And also for our friends in Canada, robisawebsite.com/AmazonCA. Coming to you live from the RHAP studios, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who was almost late to this very podcast because I was busy taking a selfie. I'm Rob Sestrino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our Amazing Race live coverage here on Friday night after episode number 2 of Amazing Race 26. Blind date, Amazing Race. And here is the woman who, it's never a blind date every week with her. Here it is, Jessica Leese. Jessica, how are you?
Hi, Rob. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Jess, and very, very excited to talk with you for the first time in this Young Amazing Race season about what is happening in the 2.5 hours of Amazing Race that we've seen thus far.
It feels like so much more somehow.
Yeah, well, it's really been much like the people on the actual blind dates / first dates. It's really been Amazing Race overload here in these last 3 days.
Yeah, it's a lot to take in.
Yeah, there's a lot going on here. And so Jess and I will start to unpack everything going on with these 9 remaining teams. Just like that, 2 days later, we were down to 9 couples left, 9 couples on dates.
9 couples on 30-day dates.
Yes. So a lot to do. First off, Jess, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm much happier now that we're kind of getting into the regular structure of Amazing Race episodes. The premiere of Amazing Race is never its shining moment, but now I'm feeling a lot better.
Why? Why do you say that about the premiere?
Because the premiere has a lot of teams, and a lot of it is just figuring out who is who and where they're going. There's usually only one task in the premiere, and you end up really kind of feeling like you spend so much time watching every team do the task that you don't really get enough action.
Okay.
And this episode really went a long way toward fixing that.
You got a lot of action.
Yep.
Okay. So, of course, we always get a lot of action here on the Amazing Race for Wrap Up show here on Friday nights because we are live and interactive with you guys. So we want to hear from you in the chat room. We've got that going on robinswebsite.com. Plus, we also have up on Twitter, Scott St. Pierre is taking your tweets, # RHAP. And then we will go ahead and take your questions from YouTube. That is at robinswebsite.com/ YouTube as well. So very excited, and make sure you're locked in here for Amazing Race podcast all season long. Subscribe to the podcast, robiswebsite.com/iTunes, or you can get on the Rob Has a Podcast app by going to robiswebsite.com/app. And then on Monday, I will have our first Amazing Race exit interview of the season as well, Jess.
The very first. Are you going to have 2 exit interviews, or are you just having the one?
No, we had the opportunity to have the first Amazing Race exit interview of the season, and Thursday was just such a crazy day with all of the Survivor stuff that we weren't able to do it. So we will start with this week's Amazing Race exit interview.
Well, I hope Jeff and Lida weren't podcast fans.
Yes, I hope so. I haven't heard from them.
I haven't either. They don't appear to be on Twitter. So.
All right. Well, yeah, that's we won't say anything about potential reasons why they may not be on Twitter. But let's just get into talking about tonight's episode. Jess, did you like tonight's episode more than the premiere?
Absolutely, I did.
OK, good.
For all the reasons I mentioned before, it's just I think the show suffers when there's only one task to do. You need to have several different things going on, or it just becomes too much of one thing. And we had 45 solid minutes of people trying to do the sinking steps task in the premiere, and it was a little bit much.
Yeah, I agreed with what you were saying on the podcast with Haley, of course. Jess and Haley Strong broke down episode 1 of The Amazing Race 26 on a podcast earlier this week. And I did feel like the 90-minute runtime did drag a little bit for the first task on The Amazing Race.
Yeah, I don't know that we needed 90 minutes. I think that could have fit quite nicely into 60.
Yeah. And so I felt like a little bit too much with, you know, dragging out all of the slow motion dancing and all that stuff. Jess, is that a big thing?
Yeah, that's a pretty well-known band.
Like, yeah.
They are definitely
better than New Kids on the Block.
Nothing is better than New Kids on the Block, Rob. Come on.
Yeah. All right. So, Jess, let's talk about tonight's episode. And we had a little bit of everything tonight. We had a five hole. We had everything going on with eating noodles. And ultimately, we had a team that was put out of its misery.
Yeah, I would say that is an accurate descriptor of what happened there.
Yeah. Okay, so let's just start off with CJ and Libya?
Libby.
CJ and Libby, they are gone. Say goodbye to Team Tuskegee because they are gone. Just where would you rank them in the all-time pantheon of Amazing Race teams?
Well, I don't keep a running tally. Like, I know Survivor Oz did this thing recently where they spent 15 hours ranking every single Survivor contestant that's ever been on the show, like all 442 of them. I don't have such a thing with Amazing Race teams, but if I did, I can't see CJ and Libby cracking the bottom 100.
Yeah. They did seem like they were definitely out of their element, and it was really just by the grace of the blind U-turn that they didn't get eliminated in the first episode.
Yeah, it seemed like they really seemed out of their depth, and yeah. I'm sure like they seem like really cool people. They'd probably be fun to hang out with, but as racers, I don't think they were ready for the challenge.
Jess, did you think it was one of those things where it was like they were so far out of it that they knew they were done for the whole time, and they were just seemed like they were just enjoying the last like, you know, whatever 30 minutes that they were on the show. And I find that typically like the teams that are just like, let's just have fun. That's the team that like knows they're already eliminated.
Yeah. And sometimes that ends up backfiring. Like they kind of cruise through the last thing thinking they're completely out of it, and they show up at the mat and it's non-elimination. So it's happened before, but this time it wasn't going to happen. And I think they just kind of saw, hey, we got a free trip to Japan. Let's enjoy it for what it is. And given that we never saw another team in the same frame as these two since pretty much the middle of the last episode, they were gone and they knew it.
Jess, I felt like we had a big discrepancy in the difficulty of the detour tasks tonight.
Yeah, is this going to be a theme now? Because I felt like we had that last time too.
Yeah, and ultimately it was like one of these things where they had a task that was totally made for Team Sochi. And then the other task was like super easy. Unless you were, was it Bergen or Kurt that couldn't eat the noodles?
Kurt did not like the noodles. Bergen was a fan of the noodles, and you know, we got the great quote of "you go under and I'll stick it in."
Yes, and he was having some issues with whether or not he was going to be able to swallow the noodles.
Oh, it's a lot to swallow, Rob.
It's a lot.
It's hard to get your mouth around it.
Come on, just do it. Just do it. Jess, the noodle task, you know, they say that spaghetti is a bad first date food.
That's what they say. And, you know, I was out to dinner tonight. We went out for Italian food and I had a plate of spaghetti, and I actually dropped a forkful of spaghetti in my plate and it went entirely across the table and it did land on my husband, and I felt terrible. And I was thinking, this is a pretty good precursor to the noodle eating I'm about to see.
Was that white sauce or red sauce?
Oh, it was red sauce.
Oh, red sauce. Yeah.
But he needs to get rid of that shirt anyway, so I was fine.
Okay. They do say that spaghetti is the most sensual of the pasta.
Is it, though?
Why? What do you say?
I would go with like a bucatini or a reggietta.
Yeah.
You got to go kind of esoteric to get the real sensual pastas.
That's interesting. Not ravioli?
Ravioli is not a central pasta. That's like something you give kids to eat.
I'm really torn as to whether or not I liked the noodle task as a Amazing Race task.
Well, I thought the addition of the fan made it more entertaining.
Yes. It's interesting. It's like one of those things where it was fun, but it's also like one of those things where I feel like that's one of these tasks that we could be talking about. Like, oh, the teams had to eat noodles this week.
Yeah, it really, you kind of, that's about all you can say about it. Yeah. Noodles were eaten.
Noodles were indeed eaten. And that task just seemed way easier unless you were Kurt and you just couldn't, for whatever reason, maybe he doesn't like carbs, could not keep the pasta down. The task with the chair, like, it was so hard that Olympic figures or Olympic skaters and Olympic people from the Winter Olympics, like, they did the task and they had like 20 seconds to spare.
Yeah. Well, I thought 20 seconds seemed comparably like a lot.
I mean, yeah, it was like
they did do it on the first try.
But I feel like if you're an Olympics, like, if you're an Olympic athlete, like, I feel like if for the Amazing Race task, that's somewhat similar to what you're an Olympic gold medalist bronze medalist in. Like, shouldn't you be like beat the time that Amazing Race gives you by like at least a minute?
Yeah, maybe. But it was a movement they weren't used to. Like, speed skaters use their arms a lot. And if your arms are pushing a chair, you don't have the same range of motion that you did.
Yeah.
Plus, I think Allie made the point that those were hockey skates. They weren't speed skates. She wasn't used to wearing those kinds of skates. So I give them a little bit of leeway on that. Although they certainly should have done better than people that hadn't been ice skating since they were kids.
Yeah. Jess, did you suspect that we were going to see Rochelle Medevac from The Amazing Race tonight?
It was close for a second there. I thought that she was going to be, especially like when she called for a medic right away. And, you know, she's someone who is involved in a very physical sport. And so everyone I know that's ever done roller derby is constantly covered in bruises. So the fact that she called for a medic right away means that that was something that was really not right. And I was kind of surprised we didn't even get a shot of the medic looking at it. They just said, well, let's just go do the other one because we don't need as much wrist strength to be eating the noodles.
Yeah. And they were very psyched to get the noodle task instead of the chair task.
Yeah. Yeah. And when Mikey said, we're really good at the food tasks, I'm thinking, well, you guys should have started with the food task then.
Yes.
If it's a task, and I think we saw Jackie and Jeffrey illustrate this pretty perfectly in the first episode. If you have a task and one of you thinks you're going to be really good at it, and the other one of you is pretty sure you're not going to be good at it, you should maybe do the other task, because it doesn't matter if one of you is super good at something if you both have to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like I would have taken one look at that chair task and said, all right, let's go check out Cher.
Yeah. I think there's just too much potential for things to go wrong.
Too much potential for things to go wrong. I agree. Jess, there was an interesting development in the episode tonight where it was announced that one of the teams would randomly get a chance to have date night on The Amazing Race. Do we like this idea? Is this exciting? Is it the sort of thing that bums you out about The Amazing Race? Tell me about your feelings about date night.
Okay, on one level, I think date night is a great idea. I think it's a wonderful chance we're going to get, at the beginning of the next episode, we're going to get to see a new thing in Nagano that we didn't get to see before. And it's going to be another angle on the area that they're visiting. There's some travel involved. You get to kind of think, well, if I went to Japan, I could go do this thing, and it would be a lot of fun. And you're going to see people enjoying the area and really taking in the experience. But on the other hand, I don't love the implementation. I really would like to see the date night task be tied to something that the teams actually have to accomplish. I don't love the random aspect of it.
Yeah, it just seems so weird that, I mean, I get that Amazing Race wanted to do all dating couples and, okay, that you want to have blind dates. But now we just have, like, randomly selected people that are going to be spending the pit stop going on dates. I mean, it just feels so out of place on the show. Like all of a sudden we like, it's a show that was always about, okay, who's going to get there the fastest, who's going to win the race. And now people are going on like rewards in the time that they're supposed to be resting. It's so weird.
Yeah, it is. It's a reward challenge, and it seems a little out of place.
And it's just, and it was also picked at random. And do you want to put on your aluminum foil, tin foil hat and say that the randomly selected team just happened to be the guy from the New Kids on the Block?
I'm not ready to say that it was rigged in favor of the New Kid on the Block.
Okay.
Although I'm sure it wouldn't hurt things. They've been trying for several seasons to get him on the show. I'm sure it wouldn't hurt to be like, yeah, we'll throw in a random spa visit somewhere in there.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's likely, but I concede that it might be possible.
Jonathan just happened to have the right stuff.
Yeah. Just happened to be. Yeah.
Yeah.
I am burned out on New Kids on the Block song titles. I have no more to give.
I did love in the premiere episode when they like when Jonathan got to the pit stop and they just randomly started playing the right stuff.
They played it two or three other times.
It was like,
hey,
we paid for it. We are going to get our money's worth out of this New Kids on the Block music cue.
I was shocked not to hear it again in the second episode.
Well, I think maybe you pay for it by the episode. So I think you get it. And then it's like, okay, well, we already paid for it. I don't know if you pay for it by the time you use it. But I feel like, well, once they had it, they felt like let's really burn it out.
Yeah, it may be.
I'm surprised it wasn't over the closing credits. So yeah, usually they do the music cue, like when they put up the card, like Jerry Bruckheimer. I'm surprised they didn't put it there.
They might put it there the week that these guys get eliminated.
Oh, okay.
If these guys don't go all the way, we're going to see that playing over the end credits.
You have to pay for it again. All right.
Or Jess, they might get like one of the power ballads.
Jess, let's talk a little bit about the surprising success that some of these blind date couples have had. You and I talked when we did our preview show about how we really expected all of the long-term couples to be the teams that are really cohesive and the blind date teams to struggle. We said maybe it could even be like the first like four out of the first five teams out could be the blind date couples. But we've seen the blind date couples not really struggle with the unfamiliarity at all so far through two legs of this race.
Yeah, they've done better.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about that. Do you think, is this too small of a sample size to be able to gather any meaningful conclusions from this? Or do you think that there is something to it where people, when they first meet, are sort of on their best behavior?
I think that's definitely some of it. And it's also, you don't have any kind of stake in it. As opposed to, we have three of these couples have been dating for like 6 or 7 months. That's still the area where you are trying really hard. I think people that have been together for a very long time and people that have just met have an advantage.
Yeah.
Because people that have been together for a very long time are not self-conscious around each other. And people that have just met have no reason to worry about what the other person thinks of them because the person is a stranger.
Yeah, I think this is interesting because if I was to go on The Amazing Race with my wife now, it would be an unmitigated disaster. It would be great TV, but it would just be absolutely insane. That being said, if we went on The Amazing Race when we were only dating for, you know, a short while, I think that we would probably be like very patient with each other and like really listen to each other and have really good communication. So I wonder if there is something to this.
Yeah, I think it's definitely part of it. And the other thing that has occurred to me, and I wrote a bit about this in the blog post that I filed yesterday, when you have a couple that goes on The Amazing Race, or pretty much any Amazing Race team ever, when you think about it, usually it's that one of them is a big fan of the show and the other one is along for the ride. And you can often tell which one has been watching from day one and which one is like, okay, honey, I'll go on the show with you. And in the case of the blind date teams, they both want to be on the show equally badly, and they're both as into it, and they're both as excited to be there. And I think that is a big advantage.
Interesting. So the blind date teams could potentially be the real story this season.
Yeah, they could be. And I really, whether or not they fall in love, they might end up being the strongest teams across the board.
I mean, do you think that this is realistic at all, that any of these teams are actually going to fall in love?
I'm seeing some sparks fly.
I think there's one potential love connection here.
There's one potential, and it's not the one I would have picked.
Yes.
Which is really interesting.
Are we on the same page here on who it is?
It's got to be Jeff and Jackie.
Yeah. Yes.
And I think they really seem into each other.
Yes. What do you think? This is the move if you're these, like, even if you're not really into it, like, I think you fake it here, at least for the cameras, because who is, you know, who are they going to give the most airtime to? If, you know, say like, oh my God, like it's the whole season's built around dating and blind dates. And if you're the one couple that's having a successful date, I feel like the producers are going to love this.
Oh yeah. If your angle is that you want more camera time, that's exactly how you play it.
Yes. And I feel like maybe, and tell me if maybe I'm getting the wrong read on this, I feel like for Jeffrey, I think that he probably is just like, okay, whatever. But I think Jackie might be the person who's thinking of it that way.
Yeah, I think if anybody is, Jackie is.
Yeah, yes. I could see it. I could definitely see that. And Jeffrey's just like, okay, whatever. Hey, she says she's into me. This is good.
Well, I mean, she's a pretty girl. Of course he's going to be okay with her being into him.
Yeah. Phil had some awkward conversations with the teams on the mat, really fishing for this dating stuff with all the teams. But in particular with Jackie and Jeffrey, he's like, well, she's hanging off your bicep.
Yeah. And he was trying to get the greeter in on it with him. He was like trying to be co-conspirators with the greeter guy.
Hey, what do you think of that? these two dating or what?
The greeter's guy, like, I don't know their lives. Why are you asking me?
Yeah, definitely. That was odd. I feel like bicep is a hard word to get into a conversation without it being really awkward.
Yeah, unless you're at the gym. And even then.
Even then, no. I think the only place it's like, oh, like, I think I've torn a muscle in my bicep. I think that's the only time that you can work bicep into a conversation and it's not really awkward for everybody involved.
Then it's still awkward because I don't know how to respond to your medical trauma.
You gotta say, do you want me to call in, do you want to call in, who is it? Blair and Haley. Blair and Haley. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was Blair's first fear, that someone was going to get injured on the race and he was going to have to deal with it.
RX for love. Yeah.
It's not really, it's not even over the counter love at this point.
Yeah. But Phil is really pushing, these couples. I thought it was really also awkward for, Jelani and Jenny. And I almost felt bad for Jelani here because Phil said, oh, so what do you think? Is there a love connection here? And I felt like Jenny was very quick to say, no, we're just friends.
Well, this is like when you go out on a date and you like meet your date's parents and you've only been dating for a few weeks and the parents are like, ooh, she's really cute. You think you're going to marry her? How do you guys think that's going to work out? You guys going to move in together? And I think that's kind of how it felt.
Go through the scenario again. This is the girl you go on a date with, her parents are saying this?
Yeah, the girl's parents or the guy's parents are like, oh, wow, yeah, you guys are really cute together.
Is
you should
like
get married.
40, the woman that you're picking up, that the parents are really just trying to marry her off?
Yeah, that could be.
I feel like
it could be. Parents can do this at any age if they get anxious enough.
I feel like this is more like you go on a date and you have like a waiter who's like trying to make a lot of conversation. He's like, hey, this couple here. So is this a love connection? It's like, no. Can we just see the menu? Like, is there fireworks here? No. Can we just
cab drivers do that too?
Yes. Yes. So that's very, very, very interesting to watch. It's a good subplot to see on this season.
I think I've got a handle on what Phil's angle is here.
What's that?
According to Phil's book, No Opportunity Wasted, he has performed marriage ceremonies before. He's like got an internet minister degree or something. Maybe he is trying to get these people to hook up because he knows if it's a true love connection and they get married, they'll ask him to perform the ceremony.
I can't believe you just cited Phil's book. Now, Phil's book, is that an autobiography?
No,
Is it like the PK rules?
It's more like that. It's basically, he had a short-lived other series called No Opportunity Wasted, and it's kind of a motivational book. It's like trying to get you to face your fears and pursue your dreams. And in the show, he would like give people a sum of money and have them like do something wacky.
Like what?
I think there was one about skydiving, and it was a lot of kind of that extreme facing your fears and doing the thing you didn't think you could do to discover like hidden depths within yourself. I don't know. This was like 10 years ago.
So what?
How does it work about the Amazing Race?
So it's like Phil will give you money to go skydiving, or he's going to give you money and you have to pay for skydiving with the money he gives you.
I think he gives you a budget to achieve your dream. How the show went. This was a decade ago. This was back when like Amazing Race was relevant, and he wrote the book as kind of a companion, and it's very inspirational. I think it's been a while since I've read it.
Wow. Jess, I had an idea today, and you tell me if this is a good one, on ways to improve The Amazing Race, other than incorporate blind date couples into it. What if you tell the teams at the start of the leg what they're playing for in this leg? Because I kind of feel like The Amazing Race is each leg, yeah, you want to finish in first, but then it's sort of a mystery what the prize is going to be when you get to the mat. And it's almost like if on Survivor they had a reward challenge and they said, all right, you want to know what you're playing for? It's in this box right behind me. The team that wins will find out what it is. All right, worth playing for? Let's go. Where on The Amazing Race, what if at the start of the leg they said, all right, the team that comes in first in this leg, each of them will receive a new Ford Escort 2015, whatever. Would that make the race more exciting?
Well, first of all, I'm kind of shocked that Survivor has never done the secret reward, because that sounds like something they would totally do. And I guess they do it in like food auctions sometimes.
They do the covered item, and they also tell you like you'll get a reward, and you know there's something else that I'll tell you about after the challenge. Like sometimes they say that there's like a second part to it.
No, they should totally just have a box, and the reward should be in the box, and they shouldn't tell you what it is until after you win it.
What's in the box?
With regard to The Amazing Race, here's how that could backfire. What if the prize kind of sucks? And all of these prizes are funded by sponsors. So at the beginning of the leg, they open the clue, and the clue says, teams, this leg will be playing for a special package from Fitbit. And people are like, I don't want a freaking Fitbit. Who cares about that? And then they just kind of don't even care. They're not excited. And then Fitbit is like, why did you guys undersell our prize package? We're never going to get more people to buy our product through this product placement instance. We're never going to fund you again.
Boy,
and then pretty soon you lose all your funding.
Okay. Just the Fitbit making a big push into CBS reality in the past calendar year between the fitness trackers that were worn by the Big Brother contestants to now the Fitbit prize package awarded to the Amazing Race teams in this leg of the race. Jess, the Fitbit prize package, good prize or bad prize?
Well, the Fitbit per se, you know, people I know that have them love them. They think they're great. I think they're a little bit douchey, but that's just me. I would be more excited about the year of free groceries.
Yeah. Jess, how could you say that a Fitbit is a douchey thing that somebody could wear?
Well, because people tend to get really caught up in what their step count is when they have the Fitbit.
Yeah.
Like you're doing right now. What's your step count today, Rob?
No, it's a lot. It's a lot. 13,959. And, you know, the doctors say you're not supposed to walk more than 2,000 steps in a day. It's very dangerous. So I'm way over my limit.
Oh, you're flirting with danger, Rob.
Flirting with danger. Yes. My knees could give out at any second. But that being said, I thought it was odd, the Fitbit prize package, because one, how many Fitbits do you need? I feel like one typically does the trick.
Well, you know, yours doesn't go with your outfit right now, Rob.
I guess you
want to have like a red and blue plaid one?
I guess so. But typically, you know, you have two arms, you only need one Fitbit. That's typically what you, unless you know, everybody you know is getting one for Christmas or Hanukkah this year. But the thing about the groceries, so what are you getting? You're getting like a year of groceries from Fitbit also?
Yeah, they're sponsoring like a year of, I guess, well, here in New York, we have Fresh Direct.
Yeah.
And Fresh Direct is wonderful. And if I got a year of free Fresh Direct, I would be over the frickin' moon.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, that's sort of like, at first I'm like, the Fitbit, that kind of is lame. Like, I mean, a Fitbit is like $100. But then it was like a year of free groceries. All right. I'm in on that.
Plus you get like a cooking lessons and a personal chef's going to cook a meal for you. And
a gym, well, you get a gym membership or is it a personal trainer also?
A gym membership, they said, and that's got to be like, you know, $1,200. That's not bad.
$1,200.
Well, I don't know. That's New York City gym memberships are like $100 a month.
Oh my God. So you must go to a good gym, Jess.
Well, I don't know. I have a gym in my building, so I don't actually go to one I pay for.
Yeah. I don't go to the one I pay for either. So, yeah,
that's their business model. They're counting on that.
You can't quit the gym.
But you had 13,000 steps today. What do you need with a gym?
Yeah. Well, it's still a byproduct of moving. Still every day. This thing's going to explode soon. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about a couple of the other teams tonight. Let's just give the state of the team report. Allie and Steve. Of course, they got the 5-hole task right in their laps. Just for the people who are new to the Amazing Race Wrap Up, what is a 5-hole task?
A 5-hole task is one where if a team does something specific for a living, and then they are confronted with a task that is related to or exactly that thing, it is possible and even likely that the team is going to screw it up so badly that they will embarrass themselves in the capacity of whatever occupation that they do. And this comes from Amazing Race Canada this past summer. We had two Olympic gold medalists in hockey. We're faced with a hockey task in which they had to score 5 different goals.
Yeah.
And one of the goals involved like getting it in the 5-hole.
Yeah.
And they spent hours trying to get the puck in the 5-hole. They are Olympic hockey players, and teams that had never been on skates were passing them.
You know, Jess, I'm glad you brought up Olympic hockey because Nagano, where they went in this leg of the race, was actually the site of one of the darkest hours for Canadian hockey, where a lot of people were very upset after the performance from the Nagano Olympics, where it was a very dark time for Canadian hockey.
Yeah, I heard that. I guess some Canadian that works for us must have told us that story.
Right before the show started.
Right before the show started.
Yes, yes. All right, so Allie and Steve, what's your take on them through two episodes?
Allie and Steve are, I'm prepared to say they are the Adam and Bethany of this year.
Oh.
They're quietly competent. They're likable. They seem really into each other. They're kind of self-funny. They're not...
Self-funny? Is that good?
Self-funny.
Self-funny. Yeah, is that like Doug funny?
It's not like Doug funny. It's like they say funny things.
Ninja stealth mode.
Yeah, like I watched last week's episode. I ended up having to watch it 3 times. And on the 3rd time, I was starting to pick up little things that Steve in particular was saying that were pretty funny. And I like that in a team. Like, you don't quite realize. They seem kind of unmemorable at first, but then they kind of crack you up for random reasons.
Okay.
And so I could be into that. Adam and Bethany were very much like that last season for me. I think these two are in a similar mold, and I think they're very good at everything so far. I think we're going to see a lot of them. Of the existing couples, I think they have the best chance.
All right. Well, we'll see. Watch for those comments from Allie and Steve. All right. Bergen and Kurt, we talked about the debacle with the noodles, which... way too many out of context, inappropriate comments in that scene alone tonight.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing.
Yeah,
he had a great one. He had a great one about chewing too.
Yeah, and I'm willing to say, Bergen and Kurt, this is not a love connection.
No.
No.
No, and I think they kind of nailed the reason why.
DOA.
The main reason why is that they look too much alike.
Yes. Yeah, I think that if I was gay, I think a person who looks exactly like me would not be what I was looking for.
No, me either.
That would not be maybe, you know, somebody who is a little bit like me. Maybe we could talk. That would be enticing. But, you know, looks wise, you know.
Yeah, I would want to date someone who was the same size as me, roughly, so we could share clothes. But beyond that, I don't want them to look anything like me. That's just weird.
Yeah, so it's not ideal there for Bergen and Kurt. Do you think that this relationship will turn contentious?
I don't think so. I think they're both pretty easygoing guys, and I think they're starting to feel out each other's strengths and weaknesses. But I think they're both, neither one of them is so like uptight and high maintenance that they're going to slow the team down with their special needs. The two of them seem like they're just kind of going with whatever happens to them, and they're going to be okay.
Yeah, I did think that if Bergen was getting on Kurt's case a little bit with the noodles.
A little bit. And yeah. Kurt was being a little bit, he needed to suck it up.
Whoa, literally.
Literally.
Yes. Let's talk about Blair and Haley. Actually, just going back to the noodles, what was not to like? It's like plain noodles.
I love ramen. We have a ramen place around the corner from us, and it's fantastic.
Yes. I love it, too.
Yeah, I would be all up in that.
What's not to like?
I would be eating it like, you know who was the best ramen eater was Jenny.
Jenny?
Like, she ate about half the noodles in one bite. It was amazing.
Amazing. Okay. Blair and Haley, tough night for RX for Love.
Yes, tough night for Team Blaley.
Blaley. Do we think that they are near a meltdown?
I think it's coming. And I thought it was hilarious that the preview for the next episode, Phil's voiceover says, "Is the honeymoon over for Blair and Haley?" I'm like, there was no honeymoon to be had.
Yeah.
That a honeymoon did not even start.
Yeah, I think this one's gone south very, very quickly. I think around the time that Blair asked Haley, "How old do you think I am?" I think that was about the time that the honeymoon ended.
Yeah, that's not a conversation you have on your first date. It doesn't matter if your first date is going to last you 30 days on a TV show.
Yeah.
Don't go there yet.
Yeah, how old do you think I am? Second only to how many people do you think I've slept with?
Yeah. How much do you think I weigh?
Yeah. All right. So Blair and Haley, I think they could be on their last legs next week. Blair says they just haven't hit on all cylinders yet.
Yeah. I mean, there is always a possibility. They seemed like at the beginning of the leg, they were getting along a little bit better than they did in the middle of last episode. So I think we might just be getting like a greatest hits reel of Blair and Haley. There may be a lot of moments at which they get along just fine.
Okay.
But it is clearly not a love connection for them either.
No. Harley and Jonathan.
Harley and Jonathan are adorable. I just want to hug them both.
Really?
Give them. Yeah. They seem like they're cool guys. They're just regular guys. And one of them happens to be an international pop superstar.
Is this because Jonathan doesn't like heavy metal?
It's because Jonathan doesn't like heavy metal, absolutely. But he's very, like, if he had not been in New Kids on the Block, they would never have cast him for the show because he is an introvert, and he's very bashful, and he's not sure how he feels about having a camera in his face this much. And I find that kind of endearing.
Okay. How much do you think they'll show us of the date night in the next episode?
That's going to be the first thing we're going to see.
Yeah.
Like, before anything else, it's going to be kind of replacing the pit stop clip that we got at the beginning of this episode.
Okay. Jackie and Jeffrey. Jeffrey had a big spill in this episode.
Yeah, he got the first of many slow motion wipeouts that we got throughout the entire episode.
Yeah. So what is your take on Jackie and Jeffrey?
I think Jackie and Jeffrey, I don't see them like falling in love and having race babies, but I do see them I could see them going on a few dates after the fact.
Hey, what's his location? Where is he at?
Isn't he in California?
In California? Okay. You could do that commute.
I just assume everybody is in California.
All right. Of course, she is the Vegas showgirl.
She's in Las Vegas.
Yes. And Jeffrey is from Tampa. Hey.
Oh, right. Like East California.
Yeah. That's tough.
Yeah, that's a long distance love. But Jackie, I think, has lived in that area before. She was a Miami Heat cheerleader for a while, so she could certainly ponder going back to Florida if it worked out.
Okay. But
although I don't know if it's going to.
Once you've seen Vegas though, do you want to go back to Florida?
Vegas is a fun place to visit. I have a hard time thinking that it's a great place to live.
Oh, I've heard the opposite. I heard it's a fantastic place to live.
All right.
Let's talk about Jelani and Jenny. Nothing going on here. Not a couple. Just friends.
Can't hook up. Too busy racing.
Yes.
They're game bots.
Yes.
Like, this is what I hear. Like, this is how Mark and Brendan describe Caitlin on King of the Nerds. And I think it's apt for Jelani and Jenny as well.
Yeah. Well, interesting. Yeah, they're very focused on the tasks, Jelani and Jenny, but there's nothing going on here.
Not a thing.
Yes.
I could see them, like, if they were going to date, they're going to date, like, 5 years from now. They're going to start hanging out. They're going to be like, hey, remember that time we were on The Amazing Race? That was sure fun. Have a couple too many glasses of wine. All of a sudden, they end up in bed together, and they fall in love and get married, but it's not going to happen on the race.
Wow. Yes, this is like a romantic comedy.
It's I need the fan fiction soundbite.
Yeah.
I'm like shipping them.
You're shipping Jelani and Jenny.
Yeah, I'm shipping Jelani.
Okay, Jess, would you have them at number one in the power rankings after their strong performance this week?
Oh yeah, back to back. They're pretty good at what they're doing, and I don't see them slipping up. Like, other teams have the potential for hitting a task that's going to totally blow their game up, and I don't see that happening for these two.
Yeah. I liked how you and Haley were very focused on the khaki pants worn by Jelani.
Yeah. Yeah, that might be his one, like, his Achilles heel.
His Achilles heel. Let's talk about Team New York. Mashley.
I thought these guys were going to be better at this. Like, I suspected they were going to be one of those yelling teams, and it's not even that they're a yelling team. They're just a team that's not super great at what they're doing. And yeah. I want to see that change. I want to see them hit some tasks that they excel at, but right now they're just not coming together.
Do we think Team New York is not long for this world?
I don't see them making the top five.
Yeah. Not in top five, baby.
No.
Now, it seems like there was some people rooting against Team New York. Have they made some enemies on this race?
I can see that their strong personalities may not click well with the other teams.
Yeah. So we'll see how Team New York is going to fare going forward. And Mike and Rochelle, I thought this was a tough night for them.
Yeah, it was not Mike and Rochelle's finest hour. But it was a moment where you did kind of start to like them.
You like them more after this episode. Why? When Rochelle got hurt?
Yeah, when Rochelle got hurt and when they kind of sat down for a second and chilled out and talked it out, I thought that showed real, like, clarity of mind.
I felt like, Mike was pushing to leave that challenge for a while.
He was, but he wasn't coming from a place of not listening to his partner.
Okay.
They were listening to each other, like if one of them had steadfastly refused to do something. But, you know, he listened to her and tried it again, and then she listened to him and went to the other task.
All right, let's talk finally about Tyler and Laura, another one of these strong blind date teams.
Yeah, and if there's a team that's got the second biggest chance of hitting it off romantically, I think it's these two. Like, they're clearly, they find each other attractive.
Hey.
But they, like Jelani and Jenny have said, they're more interested in winning the race than they are in finding love.
How could you put a price on love?
$1 million, you know, that's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money, but hey,
there's time, you know, there's time for love after the race.
No time for love, Dr. Jones. We got to run the race. Okay. We didn't talk about the, was it the roadblock, Japanese box puzzle?
Yes, the Japanese box puzzle.
Did you like that as a challenge?
I think as a challenge, like as a thing that people have to do, I thought it was great. But as a thing that we have to watch people do, it was a little bit less great.
Yeah, I felt like, okay, well, this could be interesting, but I feel like this could also be like really boring TV.
Yeah, it would have been interesting if someone had gotten so frustrated with the box they like threw it across the room or like decided to get the message out by stepping on it.
Yeah. Like, why don't we just give them a Rubik's Cube as a challenge here?
Yeah, it wasn't compelling television. Actually, I have a similar puzzle box like that in my apartment right now. That's they call it the Hungarian Hell Box. We bought it in Budapest, and I've never opened it. Someday I'm going to have to call up YouTube and figure out how to open it.
Go get it. Let's watch you work on it on the show.
Are you serious? I'll go get it.
Let's test to see if that's good podcasting. All right, well, wait, let's do it another time. Maybe that's a separate...
Yeah, it's going to be terrible podcasting.
I think it's probably bad podcasting, but I think it's probably an awesome, actual, separate video.
All right, I will record myself trying to open it for YouTube.
Yes, that would
that's
be...
your bonus content for the week.
That would be fantastic. Before we get to your questions, a couple of other quick things. Phil was very complimentary about Mike's beard. Is Mike's beard the new Jim's teeth?
I think Phil just kind of fixates on one thing every season. This might be it.
Could be it. It could be it that he loves how Mike's beard is looking. How about the breakdancing for Haley and Blair this week?
I don't think that did Blair any favors.
Yes. So Blair can do the windmill. Did I have that right? Is that what he did?
That's what he said that was, and I'm going to believe him.
Okay. So, yeah, what is that move he did?
It's a breakdancing thing. I don't know.
Yeah, it seemed like he was dying to get that out there.
Yeah, he was waiting for a way to drop it into the conversation, pretend it came up organically.
Is Haley impressed with that?
No.
And just to go back to the selfie for 1 second, because I feel like we didn't spend enough time talking about that. We had a team tonight miss their train to take selfies, which I tweeted about this is things like if you would have said 5 years ago, these are things that you would never imagine hearing on The Amazing Race. Well, the selfies, I don't think were invented yet. But Jess, the teams with the selfies, are those producer mandated? Does production say, like, hey, why don't you guys go take some selfies right now? Or do they just say, like, hey, train's not coming for a while, let's go take selfies?
I think it's one of those things where I get a guess production tells them, we're giving you a selfie cam. We would like you to shoot as much video as you can, take lots of pictures, you know, have fun with it, guys. With this added implication that, you know, teams that don't do it hate The Amazing Race in America and everything it stands for. I don't think they were specifically directed to take selfies at any particular time, but I think it may have been suggested to them that this is a good time to do it. They just went a little bit longer than they should have.
Yeah. And so it would be a real jerk move on the part of production if they were like, hey, why don't you guys take some selfies right now?
Yeah, that would be kind of a jerk move, but I suspect maybe they had about 10 minutes to stand there and kill time. And they probably had about 5 good minutes of that where they could have been shooting video. And instead they went 6 minutes and there went their train.
Okay. Do we think that this will improve or only drive a wedge between the inevitable chances of a CJ and Libby wedding?
I don't see it happening.
Well, they could set up the wedding, but then they might be late because they're taking selfies. They don't have to hire a photographer.
You know, I know people that, like, at their wedding, as soon as they were pronounced husband and wife, they got out a camera and took a selfie right there in front of everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a thing that people do.
That's a thing people do. All right, well, we'll see. I feel like that's a little 2014.
Maybe. It's kind of played out.
A little played out. All right.
Amazing Race has never been a trailblazing trendsetter, you know?
Yes.
It's a show that old people watch.
Okay. Well, yes. And us. Oh, wait. Oh, wait. Oh, no.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
I mean, you're only as young as you feel, Robin. If you can log 13,000 steps on your Fitbit, you know.
Yeah. And who knows how many it could get you by the end of the day.
Yeah. Are you walking in place under that desk?
Yes. It's a treadmill desk.
Be honest.
Yes. Now, before we get to the questions on tonight's show, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor on this episode of Robin's Podcast. And those are the people that are going to be bringing you the new ABC series, American Crime. Jess, have you heard anything about American Crime?
I've heard that it is going to be a new frontier in mixing television and podcasting.
Yes.
And who better to talk about television and podcasting than us?
Yes. Well, American Crime is a new show coming to ABC this upcoming Thursday, March 5th at 10, 9 central. And the show takes a look at a murder which affects a lot of different people in one community. And the show then goes ahead and takes a look at all the different people affected by the case, from the families of the victim to the people investigating the crime and the people accused of committing the crime. And it's going to be one of these shows where you get to see, you know, one episode from one person's perspective and another episode from another person's perspective. And of course, there'll be new information brought up all along the way. So it's going to be a very immersive series. And to sort of cap what's going on the show every single week, there's going to be an American Crime podcast, which is going to be following what happens on the series. And the podcast is going to be hosted by film critic and radio personality Elvis Mitchell, who is going to be having a bunch of people from the show on to talk about what's going on American Crime each week on the podcast.
It sounds like it's going to be a really excellent show. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, well, a lot of people are excited about American Crime. It premieres Thursday night, and then the podcast is going to be at podcastone.com/American Crime with all sorts of talent from American Crime appearing on the show, and also more discussion about the storyline that's happening on American Crime. So go ahead, check out podcastone.com/American Crime to subscribe now to the American Crime podcast, and check out American Crime on ABC this upcoming Thursday, March 5th, 10, 9 central. Let's get into some questions from the listeners of RHAP, okay?
Okay.
All right, here we go. So let's fire this up and bring in the questions that Scott has been collecting all night long. Let's start with Anna Paula. Those prizes seem a little low budget, almost like the ones on Brazilian Amazing Race. Jess, could you compare the prizes on American Amazing Race to some of the international versions that you've been watching?
Well, a lot of the ones that, like Amazing Race Australia this summer, they pretty much stuck to a specific dollar amount, so you knew how much every prize was worth.
Okay.
Because the sponsor would be like, you're getting this much in cash, you're getting this much in air miles, you're getting this much in gift certificates to this store. And Canada was kind of similar because they had these, one of their big sponsors was a bank. So a lot of times their reward was sponsored by the bank. And what does the bank have money? So it'd be like, you're getting an extra $5,000 on your Scotiabank Gold American Express card.
Nice.
Yeah. And I think, actually, those are bad examples. Those are pretty high budget Amazing Race operations. And as I told Anna Paula on Twitter during the episode, I think the gold standard in low budget Amazing Race prizes comes from Amazing Race Ukraine, whose big sponsor was Carlsberg beer. And so most of the leg prizes involved, you'd get a case of beer. But they just give it to you right there. You didn't have to wait to enjoy it till after the race.
So you could like just drink it on the detour?
Yeah, you could drink it during the pit stop.
Yeah, talk about a date night. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. All right, let's take another question, and let's go to this next one. This is from Kurt Clark, the tabulator. Says, do you think any proposals will take place on Amazing Race this season?
There may be. Someone might propose that they never speak to the other person again.
Yeah,
but I don't see any wedding proposals in the future.
Yeah, I don't think so. I would be very surprised if that happened, tabulator, but we'll see.
I could see someone doing like a Keith from Survivor the Australian Outback proposal, where he does it to be on TV.
Yes, please. That, hey, will you marry me? The sun and the stars and the moon and blah, blah, blah.
And she's like, oh, I can't deny this guy on television with 50 million people watching.
She's like, okay, sure. Carrots. Yeah. Okay.
Let's talk about this later, Carrots.
Yes. Okay. Let's go to Keith Dixon, who says, what if you win the fantasy suite but come in last to the pit stop? Do you forfeit the prize? Yeah. What if it was CJ and Libby that got date night?
I think you're still going to be at the pit stop. Like, you still check into the pit stop, right? So go straight from the pit stop to your date and then go to Loser Lodge.
Hmm. And what do they do? Put date night on CBS.com?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
We'll or, see. You know, they fit it into previously, like previously on The Amazing Race. CJ and Libby came in last place.
But they went on a fantastic date.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right. This is from Daryl Alber. It's not you. It's me, Mike, breaking up with the task. What did you think about that? Was that the first time in Amazing Race history we had an it's not you, it's me?
Given this season, I'm sure it's not going to be the last.
Yeah. Wow. How do you like that? Mike dropping it's not you, it's me on The Amazing Race.
He's breaking the seal. We're going to see a lot of those.
Like, how can... Yeah, I hope that, you know, Rochelle, of course, you know, it was a long journey from Milan to Nagano in this episode for Rochelle.
Was it a strange erotic journey?
Yes, a strange erotic journey through through all the different, ultimately ending up with all the fusilli that they had to eat in this episode. But for her, if she tries to do it's not you, it's me to Mike, he can say, no, that's not, it's not, of course it's him.
I invented it's not you, it's me, man.
Yeah. All right. For a huge portion of the audience has no idea what we're even talking about at this point. So let's get back.
Rob, at this point, a lot of our audience wasn't even born when that happened.
Yes, yes. Back to us being old people who watch The Amazing Race.
Right.
All right. Nick 2S. So why is Phil not saying the term detour when it appears? And was this a blind detour? Did Phil not say the word detour?
I don't think, if he didn't say the word detour, I don't think that was intentional. Phil had a lot of slip-ups this episode where he was kind of winging it, and he was kind of not hitting his mark. Hmm. And I don't know, maybe he had a little bit too much sake the night before. Maybe
he got to drink all the sake left over from the first leg?
Maybe he did. Maybe he was out partying with those guys because they looked like they knew how to party.
Yeah.
But maybe he's just really, really worn out by this concept. But he was not hitting his mark. At one point, he said... I am very disappointed to tell you that you are the last team to arrive. Or the way that he mixed up the words, it was like he started out going on one path and he went down the other. And I think if he forgot to say explicitly that was a detour, that wasn't an intentional thing.
Okay. All right. Let's go to Alex G. Most of the dating teams are older and not as strong. Is Amazing Race hoping that the blind date teams will last longer to get more fighting? Jess, did the Amazing Race stack the deck so that the dating couples will outlast the new couples will outlast the dating couples?
I think they had to kind of even the playing field a little bit.
Hmm.
And in casting some very, very strong, focused people in the blind date teams, that ensures that the whole thing doesn't go over in the first five episodes or the first five blind date teams get kicked out.
Interesting.
Because if that happened, we'd have to say it was a failure, but if one of these teams ends up going very far, or if several of these teams end up going very far, it might actually be a success for this idea.
Yeah, but I just can't imagine that they sit there and say, all right, we really want the blind date thing to work. So CJ and Libby, I bet they probably suck at the race. Let's put them on the show. And then, you got also, Jeff and Lida, they're probably not going to be that good. Put them on the cast. Like, I feel like they're not that calculated.
No, not necessarily, but I think they are taking a big gamble by introducing this weird twist. You know, we're on our 26th season of the show and we're mixing up the formula that much. They got to make sure that this formula is going to actually be watchable. And in order to make it watchable, they have to think that these teams aren't going to completely suck.
Hmm. Okay. Could Amazing Race go the route of Survivor and do something like, could they start a race with, say, 12 teams and say, okay, that, you know, do like a, you know, brains versus beauty versus brawn type, like, these are teams that are blah, blah, blah. These are teams, or even if they divided the teams, like, geographically, like, here's, like, four teams from the East Coast, four teams from the West Coast, like, so just sort of like a marketing hook.
I'm surprised they never have tried that, because that seems like something, if they're going to need to put a little like colon after the Amazing Race, they should maybe try something like that. And one that I think would be really interesting is teams that have traveled a lot and teams that have never been out of the country.
Wouldn't that be a big advantage for the teams that have traveled a lot?
Sometimes it is, and sometimes it ends up not really mattering.
Hmm. Okay. But you'd be open to something like that if they did like, okay, no collar, white collar, blue collar, Amazing Race?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. Many different kinds of strengths, and I like it. I think the show is firing on all its cylinders when you have an opportunity to see many different kinds of strength being executed on the Amazing Race.
Okay. Let's take another question from Victoria Esser, who says, what's with the race rookies letting their taxi go? Violation of rule number one. That was Tyler and Laura, right?
Yeah, they would have won the leg if they hadn't let their taxi go.
Yeah, they'd be sitting pretty with a Fitbit.
Yeah, and I mean,
now they're going to be walking more places. Or they could have been walking more places. Now they'll have no idea how many steps they took.
Yeah, they're going to walk all over the place. They're going to have no idea how far they've gone.
Yes. By the way,
buy their own groceries.
By the way, how many Fitbit steps you walked in a given day? Right up there with who's on your fantasy football team? What happened in your dream? Talking about different stocks that you own for things that other people have no interest in when you are having that conversation.
What did you have for dinner on your vegan food plan?
Yes, that's also up there.
What happened at your CrossFit box? Yeah.
Our survey says yes. All right. George Y says, do Jelani and Jenny have the right approach to the blind date twist in regards to Amazing Race winning strategy? Yeah, I really do feel like the very sane and sensible approach is when Phil's like, so have you guys found love? It's like, no, we have a 1 in 10 chance to win $500,000 each. We're a little focused on the task at hand, Phil.
Yeah, like, talk to me after I've got my $500,000 and I can buy all the love I want.
Whoa. Jess, easy. Take it easy. Family podcast. All right. This is from Spicy Wasabi X. Give me a Japanese game show challenge. We're in Japan, but no Japanese game show through two episodes.
It would be like the third or fourth one. We don't need, I think we're trying to present a sensitive, nuanced cultural portrait of the nation we're visiting. And I think reducing it.
Are there not Japanese game shows in Japan?
There are plenty of Japanese game shows in Japan, but it's something the show has done a lot in the past. And I feel like if we went back to that well again, we run the risk of sending the message that all Japan is game shows all the time. And I think the Japanese people on the whole would like to believe there's more to them than that.
I don't know. I'd be interested to know if we have any RHAP listeners in Japan that they would like to see more Japanese game shows on The Amazing Race.
Yeah, okay. There you go. If you're in Japan, you get a vote.
Yes. Okay, good. Scott Grimes wants to say, reality prediction, more successful relationships, Amazing Race 26 or The Bachelor / Bachelorette, like the total franchise of Bachelor and Bachelorette?
Well, I don't think it really matters, Rob. I think Amazing Race wins anyway.
There will be more successful relationships. Are we counting the couples that came into it dating?
Well, you know, I think they've had almost the same number of successful marriages come out of The Amazing Race. And that's not even counting people that knew each other going in.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, Survivor and Big Brother probably also.
Yeah.
Have more successful relationships than The Bachelor.
Yeah, The Bachelor has, like, I think 2 or 3 marriages that ended up happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, Amazing Race has at least one. Survivor has 5 or 6.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Big Brother has a couple.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to another question from Cindy Wigglesworth. Says, are the blind dates playing for $1 million each, or are they splitting it? Jess, we can confirm that it is $1 million total.
Yeah, they can split it however they want.
Oh, they could go 60-40?
Yeah, I mean, Tim and Marie went 60-40, or they were gonna.
Yeah, but on the, I feel like that's a weird thing to bring up on the blind date.
It would be. I wouldn't put it past Blair and Haley to go there.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's take a question from, oh, Mike Bloom says, haven't seen the episode yet, but will the final memory task be animals? No animals at the pit stop this time.
No animals, ever.
Not yet. Not yet. We're still waiting for that season. That's coming. All right, from Adam Driscoll, is it terrible to think that the final challenge might be a memory task involving putting badly taken selfies into chronological order when they appeared in the race?
I could see that. I could definitely see that.
No way. No way. Are you being serious?
Why else give this much FaceTime to the selfies?
Because some executive said, look, we need to bring in a younger demo for the Amazing Race. What do we need to do here? Like, I've got it. They need to take selfies on the race. Wouldn't that be fun? Wouldn't kids love this? Like, oh, that's genius. You get a promotion.
No, the kids love their selfies.
Yeah. What if everybody was on a blind date on the Amazing Race too? Oh, Johnson, you're really onto something.
Yeah, you get a promotion.
You get a promotion. Like, wait, hold on. What if we give away Fitbits also? Like, oh, perfect.
Oh, the kids love their Fitbits.
How about date night? Oh.
Kids love going on dates. Go to the sock hop.
Yes. Yes. All right. This is from Andy Maki. Says, if you could pick any team type, parent, child, best friends, to base the season around, what would it be? Jess, I know you have never been in favor of dating couples. You say that's the most least interesting of the pairs of teams. What would you like to see a team, a season based around?
I would like to see a season based on, I think the variety of teams is what makes the show special.
Hmm.
And I would have a very hard time thinking that you could have an entire season populated with one type of team and have that be as satisfying as having many different kinds. I don't know that there is one that I could definitively say, yes, give me 11 of this kind of team.
Okay. Well,
maybe siblings. Siblings could be fun.
Siblings would be good. I will see your siblings and raise you divorced couples.
Oh, dear. All right. You get a lot of yelling.
Amazing Race till death do us apart. I don't know. What would we call it? Amazing Race Splitsville.
Yeah, Splitsville. Amazing Race off the rails.
Yes. Yes, off the rails. Okay, let's take another question here. And this one is from David Putnam, who says, does Matt remind anyone else of Big Jeff? Where's Big Jeff?
Yeah, there's no Survivor Live this year, is there?
Big Jeff is busy. Got a lot going on.
Got a full life.
Yeah. What do you think? Does Matt remind you of Big Jeff?
Maybe. I don't know. There's always a guy like that.
A little, you know, with all due respect to Mike, I think he's a little not big to be Big Jeff, right?
No, he's big enough.
Big enough? How tall is he?
I don't know.
Okay. So
he seems, you know, he's not short like Jelani.
Yeah. I don't know.
Jelani's like 5 feet even.
I don't know if Big Jeff wants to be compared to a hairdresser. He might say GTFO.
Maybe.
Yeah. All right. But Big Jeff would be the perfect guy to have on this season because you've got a bunch of blind date couples who are you guys ready? Are you guys single and ready to mingle? Are you ready to be on a blind date here?
He's the originator of that phrase.
Yeah.
In the context of CBS reality, I guess.
Yeah. All right, Kelsey X, the noodle task should have been an active route marker or something. Do you agree?
She just wants to see everybody eating the noodles.
Okay.
Which maybe it wasn't. I think we could have gone with something a little more difficult. Like, I think maybe the noodle bowls should have been twice as big.
Hmm. How about something gross instead of noodles? Like, I felt like that was very, except for the fact that Kurt doesn't like noodles. Like, I'm like, really? I feel like if I'm a former Amazing Racer, it's like, really? You guys got to eat noodles? Like, when I talked to the Twinnies yesterday,
fallopian tubes.
Yeah, eating, you ate pasta. I ate frog fallopian tubes.
Yeah. Yeah, and frequently it's either something gross or it's a lot of something that's medium gross. Like, in the good old days of Amazing Race, somebody had to eat a kilo of caviar.
Right.
Or scramble an entire ostrich egg.
Right. So, I feel like that really, they got off pretty easy there with, you know, eat some.
The noodles can be normal noodles, just you have to eat, 6 pounds of them.
Yes, or with, Tabasco sauce on it.
Sriracha.
Hot sauce. Yes. Yes. All right. Let's keep going.
Well, I would be all up in that. Yeah. That sounds amazing. I want that right now.
Marissa G says, the teams are okay. I like how happy and unawkward everyone is, but let's change up the smiles and cheers for a bit. I want some Amazing Race travel drama.
We'll get there. We only had one really long flight.
Why are you all so happy?
They're happy because they're excited for the opportunity. It hasn't set in that this is a grueling race yet. They didn't even have to really travel. They got on a bullet train. It took them like an hour.
Yeah. Well,
wait till they have to have a couple of flights and then come back to how they're feeling.
We had teams that couldn't even get on a bullet train without missing it.
Yeah. I mean, this is Bush League, man.
All right. The tabulator's back. It says, do you get any Australia versus New Zealand vibes in terms of rivalries between the daters and non-daters? Do you think that we will see alliances form between the the blind date couples and the previously dating couples?
Well, I think you can definitely make a case for that because you can certainly, it's a line you can divide people along. Like, anytime there's people and some of them fit one category and some fit another category, I think it's natural that you would feel more sympathetic. And you already see Jenny and Laura are kind of making this friendship. They're striking up a friendship. And I could certainly see them wanting to spend the most time with teams that are in the same predicament.
Double date.
Yeah. Double date.
There you go. All right. This is from Alex G. Is there anything that they could have done to fix the detour imbalance? Like maybe make the ramen task timed? 25th attempt of ramen noodles.
That I could definitely see happening. That reminds me of Amazing Race 18 on the Ferris wheel in Vienna, where they had this giant meal and they had to eat the whole meal before the Ferris wheel finished going all the way around.
And what happened if you didn't do it? You have to eat it again?
Yeah, you had to try it again. And nobody could finish it. It was impossible.
What do? You have to make yourself throw up?
Yeah, or you have to you had to eat it so fast that it was really almost impossible to get all the food down. And then nobody tried it more than twice.
Oh, boy. Okay. Let's go to JJ Rules 07. Who has the best beard, Mike or Max Dawson? Can we add Mark Burnett in this conversation also?
Well, Mark Burnett is just cribbing on Max Dawson.
Yeah.
He's just like, that's a cool look. Yeah, I'm going to try that.
That guy has a good look. I'm going for that.
Exactly. I don't do a good Mark Burnett impression. So.
Neither do I.
It's better than mine.
Yeah. I would say that Max Dawson has a beard that's more of a defined look, where I feel like Mike's beard, I don't know if I have a word for it. I feel like it's sort of just there.
Yeah, I think Max's beard is more of a conscious choice. It's an affectation, whereas Mike's beard is because he forgot to shave for a bunch of days in a row.
For 2 years in a row.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. All right, let's take a question from Joel. And Joel says, who would you guys rank as the top teams in Amazing Race history? Oh, Jess, this is a whole separate podcast.
Yeah, I think we need to leave that for off-season
for another day. We know is that it's not CJ and Libby.
They definitely don't make that list. And I'm sure they're lovely people, but I don't think they make the list.
Would you ever want to do a list like that? We've done it for Survivor, we've done it for Big Brother also. of like a fan vote on the top Amazing Race teams of all time? Would that be interesting to you?
I really would love to do that, actually. And it's something I've toyed with trying to put that together for an off season. This past off season, it just didn't work out. So maybe this summer we'll get on that.
All right. So what would be preferential for you? Do you want to make the list, or do you want to let the fans vote on that list?
I think the fans can vote on the list. And I have some pals that do another Amazing Race podcast, and we've wanted to collaborate on something. And I think it would be, this might be the opportunity to get them in on that. And we'll talk to a couple of the other Amazing Race super fans, and Rob has a network.
Okay.
And we'll have a panel, and we'll count down.
You can poo-poo what the fans vote in, say recency bias and stuff like that.
Right. I'm going to read the fan votes, and then I'm going to tell you why you're wrong.
Tell you why you're wrong. Okay. Yeah. When the Afghanimals win number one Amazing Race team of all time.
Yeah. When Dave and Connor win number one Amazing Race team of all time, because if you rank them number two, it's just age discrimination.
Yes. How dare you? All right.
Keith and Whitney, number one team of all time.
Brentchel, number one. Okay. Here's a question from Mark, who says, great twist with the blind date edition. Lots of variables in this season. Really like Phil and his fun personality being shown. Hope the show continues to grow. What a fun episode, especially the Japanese edition. Can't wait for Thailand episodes. All right. So Blue Sky Mark, loving it.
Yeah, I'm happy to hear that. I'm enjoying it more than I thought I would as well.
Yeah, I know. The first episode, I think, was, you know, again, it was long. It was a long night for all of us who watched Survivor also back to back, like 3 hours. I do think that there was some fatigue by the end of this, but I feel like, you know, nothing. I mean, there's definitely some things that are wonky here, but I don't think there's anything about the blind date Amazing Race that's so off-putting.
Yeah, there's nothing in there that makes it categorically worse than all other seasons. And I'm pleasantly surprised by how much I like some of these teams. I'm surprised at how well they're doing. And I think it's going to make for a very interesting season coming up.
Okay, let's do one or two more questions. This is from Mr. Adam. Never would I have thought that the blind dates would do better than the existing couples. I hear you. I hear that.
Yeah, I hear it too.
Okay. And last question from Andy Mackey says, will any of the blind date teams actually go on a date when the season is over? Well, we've got two potential teams that could still go on a date.
I could see it happening.
Tyler and Laura. And then also with Jackie and Jeffrey. And I think that's it.
They think those two would go on a date.
Okay. All right.
I can see the other ones maybe hanging out just because they've been through this together, but they're not going to go on a date.
Yes. Jess, any thoughts or words today about the passing of Leonard Nimoy?
As you know, Rob, I'm a huge Star Trek fan. Yes. And I'm pretty crushed by this. I'm not going to lie. So yeah, he is really a fascinating guy who did a lot of really wonderful things, and he's going to be very missed.
Yeah. Very sad. Very sad news today. I was really like, Nicole told me this morning and I was like, really? I mean, and you know, very sad story, but a great body of work left behind.
Yeah. I'm drinking out of my spot glass in his honor.
Oh, very nice. Very nice, Jess. All right, so let's reset where we are. All right, two episodes in of Amazing Race. We will be back with more Amazing Race wrap up 1 week from tonight. Jess will have a blog about this episode of the Amazing Race in the coming days. I will have an exit interview with CJ and Libby. That should be sometime on Monday, posted later on Monday night. Anything else from the Amazing Race world we need to know about?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
I think everybody's going to have a lot to catch up on, I'm sure. People are still even working through their Survivor coverage. So if you haven't checked it out, my recap with Haley was a lot of fun, and I did write a blog that's up on the site.
Okay. Also, speaking of the Survivor coverage, spoke with the Twinnies, speaking of Amazing Race, in a marathon podcast to kick things off on Survivor. I talked to the Twinnies, and also I answered your voicemails with Josh Wigler. That is all up right now on robhasawebsite.com. Plus, We're going to also bring you King of the Nerds coverage this weekend. And then also on post-show recaps, we're going to kick off House of Cards Season 3 coverage. Jess, are you a fan of the House of Cards?
I have not yet caught up on the House of Cards, but I've heard it's really wonderful.
It's fun. It's fun. It depends what you're into. If you don't take it too seriously, it's a lot of fun.
It's one of those things I'm saving for like a transatlantic flight.
Wow. Okay. Well, you could probably go back and forth a couple times and catch up.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Plus, we're going to have much, much more coming up. We've got Spicin coming up again next week. We're going to get back into the next episode of Survivor. And then before we go all the way around the week and get back to Amazing Race again this next Friday, Jess, you have a hashtag for this episode.
All right. I'm down to two hashtags.
Okay. What do you got?
See which one you like. I've got sensual pasta and yes. I've got plaid Fitbit.
No, sensual pasta. That is the right. All right. Absolutely the right one. Okay. Everybody. We love hearing from you guys in the comments. Let us know what you think about the episode. Let us know what you think about the blind date Amazing Race. Are you enjoying it more than you thought you would or less than you even thought you might? So let us know what you're thinking. Hope you guys have a great weekend and we'll talk to you again soon. Take care.